Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministries tonight. Amen. We're doing a Bible study tonight on seed time and harvest. Praise the Lord. And I just want to ask the Lord to bless this message on tonight. Father, you know that I'm walking in obedience to you, what you have commanded me to do. And God, I give you glory and I give you praise. I ask you to back me up tonight, Lord. Let your anointing, God, go before me. God, dispatch the angels of God to go before me, Lord God, and make the crooked places straight, that you would touch the hearts of your people, Lord, that are listening in, and God, that this message will be shared all over the world. In the mighty name of Jesus, I give you glory and I give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you, amen, tonight. My pastor is Pastor Corey Hambrick in Conyers, Georgia, and he has been teaching a series called Get Your Life. And this series has really been a blessing to me. He doesn't know how much it has changed my life as far as I look at giving, because so many people had abused the concept of giving before, and I was just tired when I got to his church. I was really tired of the people that had abused it. And nobody had really taught me about the concept of giving in the right way for the people to be blessed, not just the leader, but for the people to be blessed. And when I met this man of God, I tell you, God began to show me his heart and show me that he is a true man of God, number one, and that he loves God's people. So I give God glory and I give God praise because he knows just what you need. Amen. So I give God glory, amen, for that. But we're coming to you, amen, tonight talking about seed time and harvest. I'm going to share some of the principles that he shared with us in our Bible study on Thursday night. And some of the things that he said were a foundation for this message tonight. So I want to make sure I get that out there. But in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 11. This is one of the scriptures that he blessed us with. And the Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now, he's teaching this series on the seed, and he taught us that the seed has everything that it needs inside of itself. Amen. And God spoke and said, let the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself. Now, the key here is he taught us that everything we need is inside the seed. I have to repeat that again. Everything we need is inside the seed. Now, God showed me that there's two things that we need to have a harvest. We need seed and we need ground. Amen. A seed by itself cannot produce fruit. You have to plant the seed, and you have to plant it in good ground. You have to plant it in ground that it is going to be receptive to, that is going to nurture the seed, and God is going to give the increase. Amen? So if a seed is barren, it has no nutrients, amen, not too many things can grow in bad soil. But if the ground is good, I want you to hear what God is saying tonight. If the ground is good, then the seed will produce fruit after its kind. And we're going to talk about the fruit, amen, but we're talking about seed first. So we need seed and we need ground. Now, my need and my seed and most people's seed today, because we don't live in an agricultural climate anymore, we live in a world that is very urban, where we use money to get a lot of the things that we need. So, of course, our seed has changed now. It's no longer considered seed that you plant in the ground to produce a harvest, but it's considered money. Our money is our seed. Amen. So we have to sow our seed or our money in good ground in order to reap a harvest. This is one of the first principles. In Genesis 1 and 12, the Bible says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself. God said this again. First he said that he produced it. First he said that he produced it in verse 11. He said, God spoke and said, let the earth, let it come. But in verse 12, he said, it brought forth. So God is emphasizing seed time and harvest. Again, in verse 12, God said, the earth brought forth grass, the earth brought forth or herb yielding seed after its kind, and it brought forth trees that yielded fruit who had seed in itself. So the seed was inside the fruit. Amen. And there was no need for anything else to be created after this, because we had everything we needed. That's one thing that I really want you to get tonight. God can create. God does do miracles, and God can create. But if he's already given us seed, he's already given us ground, he's already told us to plant the seed, there's no need for a creation miracle because we have seed. And I'm going to prove this to you in the Word. And he said, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. He also taught us, I'm talking about my pastor, that most people eat the fruit and throw away their seed because we don't value the seed as we should. When the seed is what brings forth the harvest. So why are we throwing away our seed? And we do the same thing with our money. We go and buy things that are not producing fruit in our lives, that's not producing good works, we're not even sowing our seed in good ground a lot of times. And then when we do get a harvest, we are throwing away our seed. We're not replanting it in good ground. And this is something that God really dealt with me about through this series. That is what God told me. That is why most people never receive a harvest, because their focus is on the fruit rather than the seed. We should not be focused on the fruit, saints. Of course, the fruit is good and it's going to bless us, and you know we need the fruit, amen. But we have to remember that the seed is what is most valuable. The seed is what is going to continue to produce our harvest, not the fruit. When we begin to see the seed as valuable, then we won't waste it, and we will begin to see a harvest in our lives. The thing God showed me when my pastor preached this was that every time a seed is planted and grows, it grows into a harvest, it's a miracle from God. And another scripture, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to get to that in a minute, it says God gives the increase. But it's a miracle every time a seed is turned into a harvest. And you don't just get, another scripture Paul said, you don't receive, the harvest is not the same thing as the seed. It's a different type of blessing. It's going to come back as more than just the seed that you planted. That's why we call it a harvest. Amen. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, for the earth was drinking in the rain that cometh off of it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive a blessing from God. So here again we see God is letting us know that the blessing is coming from God. It's the word in action. It's the spoken word. Everything God does is a miracle in and of itself. But when he puts the seed principle into effect, he gave it to us for our benefit. The seed is to benefit man, not God. God doesn't need our seed. Amen. We need our seed. We need the blessing. We need the fruit. Amen. Now, my pastor also said our mind is full of opportunities because we are made in the image of God, and God put a mind in us that is similar to his mind, which is full of opportunities. So because our mind is made in the image of God's mind, we can see in Genesis 2 and 9. Now, this is something else that God showed me that, you know, this is what God told me about when he said that. God said, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree in Genesis 2 and 9, that God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for fruit, food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now here we see two different types of trees. We see the tree of life in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in effect, what it did, it poisoned our mind and diluted our thinking. So now we are open to the devices of the enemy. Amen. This is what God told me today. I often wondered why God put Satan on earth with mankind. I said, God, why did you even put him here with us? But God, now I know, because if we had not ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan would never have had an opportunity to plant his seeds of wickedness in our minds. As long as Adam and Eve, and I want you to hear this, as long as Adam and Eve did not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan could do nothing to them. That he didn't just come when the day that he decided to tempt Eve. He was here from the day that God created Adam and Eve. But all that time, he did not benefit him. He couldn't get an edge in. He couldn't get in because there was no knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam and Eve, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because he knew that they were going to open themselves up to temptation and to sin, which is disobedience. So he was there, but he was a nobody. He was on the earth. We were the ones that were given rulership of the earth. We were the ones that were given dominion over the earth. Satan was here, but he had no power until we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, because we did not have any knowledge of evil, Satan is all evil, but he masquerades as an angel of light. That is why you have things like white magic and black magic. It's all magic, but it's just good and evil magic. So this is what opened up to us. The evil that's in the world opened up to us through eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After we gained this knowledge, Satan became the dominant one. Remember, he told Christ on the mountain when he tempted him three times, he said, "All of this was given unto me." And he did not lie. It was. That was a partial truth. That's how he gets so many people deceived, because he comes with a half-truth and a half-lie. It's 99% true, just that 1% that's not true that gets us every time. You know, unless we're saved and, you know, we are walking in the Word, then, of course, we can't be deceived. But Satan is such a master at deception, saints. Now, the Bible says, "To whom you yield yourselves, your members to obey, to him you become a servant." Now, we became a servant to sin when we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And redemption was only possible through the blood sacrifice, because the Bible says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." So that's when God put Plan B into effect. Now, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And if you turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire," which we know is representative of hell. "Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them." Amen. And then he goes on to say, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom." That's another whole message. But here we're talking about fruit tonight. God told us to beware of false prophets. "You shall know them by their fruits." What is God speaking of here? He's talking about our lives and our works. A good tree is a good person that produces good works. Amen? So that's what he's saying. An evil or corrupt person brings forth evil works. Now, I want you to know that I was listening to a story the other day, and this man on Sid Roth, and this man was talking about God had gave him a vision. He went to heaven, and his house or his mansion was not finished because it had no roof. And the man said, he asked God, "My house is so beautiful, it's gorgeous, it's so magnificent, but it doesn't have a roof." And God told him that he had more good works to do on the earth, and then his roof would be added and his mansion would be finished. So he had to go back to earth. He was a pastor. He had to go back to earth and finish doing some good works, and then his house was going to be finished. Now, when we do good works on the earth, just let me know that giving. And what are some of the good works that we can do? Well, the good works, a lot of good works are considered to be giving and being a blessing to others. That's considered a good work in the eyes of God, and I'm going to prove it to you with the scripture tonight. Our angels in heaven can add to our mansions and make them even more fabulous when we do good works. In Matthew 5 and 16, the Bible says, another good thing about good works is the Bible says, "Men will glorify our Father in heaven." The Bible says in Matthew 5 and 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, good works help our light. Number one, it helps our light to shine, and it lets men glorify God for our good works on earth. Another scripture, I'm going to go through some scriptures really fast here about good works, because there are so many scriptures that deal with good works. But I want to go through some of the scriptures that I felt would get this point across. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible says there was a woman named Tabitha who was full of good works and alms deeds. Now, in Acts 9 and 36, there was at Joppa, this is what the Bible actually says. I just gave you a brief summary. But in the actual scripture it says, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Do you know what good alms deeds are, saints? These are giving. She was a giver. God considered this to be a good work because she was full of good works and alms deeds. The Bible says this. Amen. So when we give to the work of the Lord, when we give to the house of God, when we bless other people, this is considered a good work in the eyes of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and 10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We should be walking in good works. Amen. 1 Timothy 5 and 10. The Bible says that a man of God should be, well, I think this is a woman of God. In 1 Timothy 5 and 10, it says that she should be well reported of for good works if she had brought up children, if she had lodged strangers. That means she's a giver. She opened up her house. She had washed the saints' feet. She had relieved the afflicted, and she had diligently followed every good work. This was talking about a widow. Amen. That was in 1 Timothy 5 and 10. 2 Timothy 3 and 17, the Bible says that the man of God may be perfect or mature or complete or fully furnished, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means that he should be a giver. The man of God should be perfect, being full of good works. That means that you are mature, you are fully furnished, you are thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the requirement for a man of God, that he be a giver. That's 2 Timothy 3 and 17. Titus 3 and 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, Paul said, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That means you can't just start and stop. Well, as a giver, you have to continue on giving. Amen. He said that they which believe in God, that means all believers, might be careful, amen, to maintain good works. Amen. When he says careful, that means be consistent. That means be diligent. Amen. That means to focus in on it. Be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So he's telling us again that all believers have to maintain good works. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 5, and I want to return there because we're going to do some reading. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 5, the Bible says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, and even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Paul said, Apollos water, but God gave the increase." This goes back to my talking about the seed. Amen. God is the one that does the increase. Every time a seed grows, it's a miracle. Everything that God does is a miracle. But Paul said here, "I have planted Apollos water, but God is the one that gives the increase." God makes it to grow. God, when you plant a seed, God is going to increase your seed that you sowed and give you a harvest. Nobody on earth is going to do that. It's going to be God. So the Bible says, "So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Now verse 8 says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward," talking about that mansion that I was talking about before, "shall receive his reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers," the Bible said, "together with God, co-laborers. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Amen. Now, verse 10 says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder," this is Paul talking, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work," talking about good works again, see how we're tying everything together, "every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Remember we talked about the good tree and the evil tree, the good works and the evil works. What's going to be revealed by fire, the Bible says. "The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." talking about in heaven. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then he said, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, whose temple you are. Then he said, let no man deceive you. Again, getting back into the works of the devil. Amen. But we wanted to stop at verse 17. Amen. So here Paul said, one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. He was referring to planting seeds. Then another thing we want to do, we don't want to waste our seed. This is something that my pastor really taught on about wasting seed tonight. We don't want to waste our seed or throw it away. That is why Jesus said with the miracle, with the five loaves and the two fishes, he said, gather up the fragments that remain that none be wasted. And that thing really used to puzzle me about why God didn't want anything to be wasted. I know it sounds good, but I wanted to know why God said that there be no waste. God showed that to me tonight through the message that my pastor preached. I never understood it till now, but now I know the reason why he said that there be no waste is because this was going to be a seed for someone else's harvest. So we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 9, verse 13, and read about the boy with the fish and the loaves of bread. In Luke chapter 6, verse 13, well, we're going to start in verse 12. And the Bible says, when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but five loaves and two fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them to sit down by fifties in a company. And they did so and made them all to sit down. Then he took the five loaves and the two fishes. That was the seed. This is the miracle that God showed me tonight when my pastor was preaching. I tell you, I couldn't hardly stay in my seat. The boy with the five loaves and the two fishes, that was a seed that God was getting ready to multiply. And I want you to stay with me as we go through this. Jesus Christ looked up to heaven, and he blessed them. When he blessed them, he was sowing them back to God. He was giving them back to God. He was giving thanks to God for the fish and the five loaves of bread, and he was sowing them by faith, which is the ground that we all sow our seed into faith anyway, because another scripture says, unless we come by faith, it's not going to profit us. There's no man that can please God except by faith. We have to come to God believing that he is, and that he's the reward of them that diligently seek him. So Jesus gave this five loaves and two fishes back to God. He looked up to heaven. He blessed them. Another scripture says he gave thanks. He broke it. He gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. This is when God began to give the increase, saints. Amen. So we're reading, amen, in Luke chapter 9. And the Bible says in 17, they did eat. They were all filled, and there was taken up fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. So they had more after the harvest than they did from the seed that was sown. The five loaves and the two fish, that was a seed. The harvest was that everybody ate. God gave the increase. Everybody ate, and we had leftover to store, which my pastor is also teaching on, a storehouse, that we will have a storage, or we will have our savings, or we will have enough left over that we can continue on to continue to give. And that's what happened here. They were taking up 12 baskets that remained. There was only five loaves and two fish. That was seed. But the harvest was, after it was all over with, they had storage. They had leftovers of 12 baskets. Jesus said that was going to be a seed for somebody else. That was going to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. So that thing really blessed me when God told me tonight in Luke chapter 9, verse 13, he had to have seed. Just to go over my notes, I know because the two fishes and the five loaves were seed that Jesus wanted to multiply. He had to have seed in order to multiply. Because I often ask God, why didn't you just create a miracle? Why did you have to have the fish and the loaves? I mean, you could have fed those people with, you could have rained down food from heaven. But he told me tonight because I operate by the seed faith principle. Amen. He said, I wanted to have, he didn't have to have, but he wanted to have the something that he could multiply. The same thing with the woman with the oil. The other day, God was talking to me about Elijah and the woman with the oil. The Bible says that Elijah told that woman to go and gather not vessels of few. The woman was broke. They were taking her children for the debt that her husband owed before he died. She was chained to the man of God. She was like, I need some help. Don't you know that he asked her, what do you have in your house? Sure, God could have given this woman something. He could have created a miracle. But he used what she had. Her seed was the oil. She gave him the oil. She said, I have nothing but a small cruse of oil. She didn't have any bread. She didn't have any cornmeal. Oil by itself, you can't eat oil. You can't survive off of oil. It didn't mean anything. It was not useful. It was not good for anything. You used the oil with something else. So she said, this is all I have is oil. I don't have any meal. I don't have anything to cook with it. I just have the oil. Elijah said, go and gather vessels from everybody you know, neighbors and everybody in your area, and don't just gather a few. This woman moved by faith. She sowed the seed. The oil was the seed, but she sowed it in faith by gathering up all the vessels that she could by obeying a man of God. And when she gathered up all the vessels and she brought it back, Elijah began to pour the oil, and the oil just began to multiply. God began to give the increase. You see what God is doing with a little bit of seed? You plant it in faith, God will give the increase. He did the same thing with the woman with the oil. Amen. But here, the seed was the fish and the bread, and the harvest was the feeding of the multitude. Amen. So let's go on down. Jesus spoke in faith and gave thanks. We went over that. At our church, when we give God, we give money in our offering, God instructed my pastor to tell us this opportunity for increase. My money is my seed, but I must sow it in faith in good ground, knowing that it will produce a harvest because I gave it to God. In Hebrews 4:2, the Bible says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So here we see again that we must sow in faith if we expect to receive from God when we give to God. How do we give to God? We can't go up to heaven and give him our money. He has no use for it. Money is of the earth to be used on the earth. We give it to God by giving in our local assemblies and doing good to help others. When I sow it into other things, for example, I recently purchased some bedding from Walmart. That means I sold my seed into the company that made the bedding and into Walmart. But I am not going to reap a harvest from that investment. They ended when I bought the bedding. Who is reaping from that investment of my seed? Who is reaping from that? I'm telling you who's reaping from that. Walmart and the manufacturer of the bedding are reaping a harvest from my seed that I planted in their garden, so to speak. I'm not getting anything else back from that. I have made up my mind that never again will I plant my seed in someone else's garden more than I plant in my own. My harvest is coming from God, so I have to plant my seed in what God has given me to plant it. By giving to God, I am promised a harvest. In Galatians 6:7-9, and this is one scripture my pastor did read tonight, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, and this is key, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all. Let us do good unto all men, especially them that are of the household of faith. That means we are to be a blessing. We are to give, especially to them that are of the household of faith. The Bible says, in due season I will reap if I faint not. And the Bible says, as we have opportunity to do good unto all men, but especially them that are of the household of faith. We shall reap a harvest if we faint not, saints. The reason why we say this is because your seed provides you an opportunity to increase your harvest. Another thing God showed me in the Word was that he repopulated the entire earth from the seed of 8 people. That was Noah, his wife, and their 3 sons. 8 people were all that was necessary for God to repopulate. That is how many seeds were inside of those 4 men, and the ground that the seed was planted in was the womb of the women. He could have done it with just Noah and his wife, but he allowed Noah's sons to share in the blessing and the harvest. Remember, we shall reap a harvest if we faint not. I thank God we got a chance to go through all the scriptures tonight. And I'm finished. But I thank God. I hope you got blessed by it. I really do. I give God glory for this message tonight because it was definitely from the Holy Ghost, because I did not plan on preaching this, but this thing was so in my spirit. I'm just learning to obey God. I pray that you receive this in the spirit that it was given. God bless you. I love you. This is Evangelist Amos signing off from Manna Teaching Ministry, and I'll be back with you again shortly. God bless you. Good night.